hope you enjoy listening to this weekly podcast from Lifeline Church. You can find out more and discover our other podcasts by searching for Lifeline Church, visiting lifelinechurch.co.uk, or by taking a look at our YouTube channel, Lifeline Church Dagenham.
So, as Avril mentioned, on Tuesday we were talking about the new building. And one of the things that is kind of coming through is the sense of that we're moving into a new season. And Leona even brought a song. I was nearly going to drop it on her, but I won't ask her to do it again now. But Leona brought a song about this is a time when God is going to bring us into something new. And I just thought this morning it would be good just to reflect, what do we mean when we talk about moving into a new season? Who are we? And what does it mean for us to be moving into a new season? Because it's a nice phrase. And so I want to look back at some of the seasons that we've been through and some of the things that we saw God do in those times. And also look at, well, is there a part, what do we need to do to, or reflect on what we need to do to actually be accessing what God is doing at this time? Because it's fine to say there's a new season, but, you know, I could spend my whole day in my house, whether it's summer, spring, winter, or autumn, wouldn't matter, and it wouldn't affect me. So how can we bring ourselves into a place where we're actually able to engage with what God is doing at this time? So I want to think about what it means to be just the body of Christ, living in the body of Christ. So we need to, as we're singing this morning, we're born out of grace. I was thinking of a grace when Mark was talking about Tottenham. One of the definitions is unmerited favour. But seriously, not wanting to be frivolous, be very serious about this. You know, Ephesians says, but because of his great love for us, God, who's rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace we have been saved. It's absolutely nothing we could do. There's a verse in Micah which struck me recently this week, and which kind of sums it up. It says, because I have sinned against him, I will bear the Lord's wrath, the Lord's anger, until he pleads my case and upholds my cause. He will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness. So he's angry with me. He's angry with our sin. The only way out of it is when he decides he's going to plead our case. We can't do anything about it. But God has done something. He's done a miracle and brought us into that place of salvation, that place of being able to be free, to live in relationship with him, to live in relationship with one another. And there's nothing we can contribute to that other than submit to his grace, praise him for his grace and accept his grace and his provision for us in what he's done for Jesus. So this church, who we are, each one of us, are born into the grace of God. And in that grace, he's brought us together. And there's a sense, as we're together, that each of us carry that grace. So there's a corporateness in that grace. We all have it and we bring it. We bring the grace of God that he's worked in our lives. So when we're together, each one of us, there's kind of a concentration. Don't get of the grace of God. Don't get too caught up in the imagery. But the sense of there's something that's different when we're together. Because each of us is born again by the grace of God. And Ephesians 2:22 says, and in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And finally, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is part of it. So that sense of what grace has God's deposited and put in us actually is something which he's given to us corporately. And but each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. So we all carry something. So when I have a conversation with you, I can have a conversation with you, or out of that conversation, there can be the flow of God's heart towards me. I come and visit you in your house, okay? As the grace of God is in your house, I can encounter that grace of God that God has put within you. There's a sense in which we are ministers of God's grace together. And Hebrews says that grace is there to help us in our time of need. So it's God's provision. So suddenly we're finding that God is the solution to my situation. But actually, often the deposit of God, the way God meets me, is not just through blind revelation, but he meets me through one another. Apple was even saying it earlier in the meeting about how we had prayed together for miles and we'd seen God move in Miles' life, that he don't have to face this thing on his own. And actually, if I want to access the grace of God, one of the places I access it is we access it through one another. So how do we come to that place where we can do that? Well, I think baptism is important. I can't not mention baptism. We talk about being baptized into Christ, into the body. And it is very much a pint of joining. And when we're baptized, it is a place where God brings us into. It's a place of grace. It's a place where we receive his grace. But it's also a place of entering and joining into the body so we can actually access that grace which is in the body of Christ. Now, we're not born into baptized into Lifeline Church. We're baptized into the Church Universal. But there is a sense that when we join the Church Universal, we're also being joined to the church locally. God brings us into that and we become part of that. And it's in that joining that God ministers his grace to us. And the other one, and we'll be hearing a lot more about this because is breaking bread. And I think that is also an expression of oneness, an expression of when we come together, it's a place where we are able to deal with any issues, any barriers, any hindrances to that flow of grace between us as we access the grace of God and we recognise that Jesus has done for us. And again, it's another means that God gives us for grace. Now, I was around when Lawrence, the LNI guys were here, I was around Avils with Lawrence and I can't remember who else was there now. Hilton was there and my suit. And Avril says, can you pray before the meal? So I prayed, and I thought, well, why don't we make this into breaking bread? So we didn't actually break bread together, but I prayed in a way which was thanking God for his grace. And Lawrence says, you just turn this into communion, he says. So I said, well, yeah, that was intentional. But when we show even sharing meals together can be part of it, but God, there's something more. And we're going to hear a bit more about that. So that's a means of joined to the body. Being part of the body is not optional. If we want to grow, we have to be part. Body, it says in, for him the whole body joins and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love. The connection to the head, we all have connection to Jesus, but there's also a connection to the head through one another. We have a different parts of play. And as the as we draw grace from one another, as we recognise that connection, then we start to grow. We start to develop in our Christian life, in our walk, and also, I think, in other ways. There's also a sense that when you're part of the community, God puts a grace onto different seasons. This is where we touch the season thing. A new season puts grace onto the community. A long time ago, it is a long time ago now, well, about 25 years ago, we used to say this prayer. It wasn't actually this one. I couldn't find the actual one we used to pray. But it was something like this one. This is a bit Americanized. But we used to use this. John, unusually, I mean, this is not a John, this was not a John Singleton thing, for us to every Sunday say the same prayer before we did the offering. That's a bit out of kind of ritualistic situation. But John really felt there was a grace on our community at the time to do this. And we used to pray this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for many blessings. I thank you that as I give tithes and offerings, I'm believing the Lord for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, sales and commissions, favourable settlements, estates and inheritance, interest and income, rebates and returns, discounts and difference, checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills decreased, bills paid off, blessings and increased. It's offering time celebration. Do you remember that, Dawn? Yeah. And It was amazing. During that season, the number of Sundays when people were standing at the front of this meeting giving testimony of God's provision for them. Sue and I were stuck. We had a flat we bought, and within 2 years of buying it, it had dropped half its value. So we had a mortgage on a place that we couldn't pay off because the value of the property was less than our mortgage. And we've been praying about this, and this season came. God brought this season into the church community. And we started to, we've been praying about this. And one Sunday, one evening after we were praying, we were so convinced God was going to do something, we didn't go on holiday. Someone put £300 to our letterbox. It was quite a strange situation. It was not somebody we'd have expected to have done it. We saw, they did it anonymously, but we saw the money off. And so put this money, and we opened this bank account called our house account. Now, to cut a long story short, over about the period of 3 weeks, we had £12,500 come in, which is equivalent to about £27,500 or £25,000 nowadays. And there was somebody in the church anonymously gave this money, £3,000. There was an inheritance that came through that went to my parents and went to my sister. For some reason, they didn't give the money to me, even though I needed the money. But my sister felt, no, you should have some, so they gave us a chunk. And my mother felt, no, you should have some. My mother hasn't got much money, but she just felt they should give us some too. And during that season, there was a whole host. I remember Alan Fitch standing up there talking about checks in the post. And God was putting us into a season of provision. Now, I don't want to be thinking that you plant a lifeline and you're going to get rich. Because actually, you might be the person that God's talking about giving your money away to somebody else. So it could work both ways. But the reality was, it was a season of provision. The other season that we were in was the season of baby boys. Now, we had a time when we had loads of girls being born. There's nothing wrong with girls. It was lovely. But the fact is, we didn't have any boys being born into the church. And we started to pray. The leadership really felt we should start praying for boys. And suddenly, everybody that had a baby had a baby boy. We're talking about the generation of, I don't know, I can't see anybody here now. Well, sorry, Jacob was part of that, was he? So there's a whole host, and if you look now, you'll see there's a whole group of 18, 19, 20-year-old boys that we have together in the church. And that happened because we prayed. I had the privilege, after I retired, of doing the midweek children's work. And it was the 7 and 8-year-olds. And I had 13 boys and 2 girls. So poor Keris and poor Kirillin, they were the 2 girls, and these 13 boys in this group. And this was a season that God had given to us. We prayed and we got boys. And I think that when we talk about seasons, that God, there is a time when, but it's access through the community. It's being part of this community. We're accessing the grace that God has put on this community at the time. So there's something here that is for us, that God is doing at a particular time. And as we're joined to the body, there's a flow of that grace into each of us, each one of us. What do you feel about what seasons are we in today? So what is God doing? We talked about the new season. Children meeting with God is the time. Now, that's not just a season. That is something which God is grace on the community. It's not a seasonal thing. It's something which is here, that grace that God is doing amongst us. Friendships and relationships. We build relationships. That capacity to have relationship is something which is part of what God has built into us. Now, this again is not a season in one sense. It's actually a grace that's here for us. There's a grace to worship. There was a season when worship wasn't strong, but we kind of feel that God is bringing us into something new that will be sustained. Grace to pray.
I think there was a new sense of praying. There was a period further back when we used to pray vehemently, and I think God's bringing us back into something new. Encounters with the Holy Spirit, Jamie's bringing us a lot about that sense of needing to encounter him. Again, that's something which God is doing amongst us. And sharper witness. We're beginning to hear stories of where people have, as Jamie's leading us into this, where people are starting to talk about seeing the sharper witness, that sense of God speaking to them, and opportunities to share gospel. Beck recently had a story. So there's a grace for us that God is enabling. It's enabling power, which comes from being part and being joined to this community. That's the thing that we, that's what I'm saying. And also moving out. This is the new season. As we look, we've already been moving out into the community. And as God gives us this new building, we see that there's something new that God is doing here. So what does being part look like? Well, there's one of our many mottos, many previous statements we used to use, was God's people in relationship under leadership for purpose. And to access what God is doing amongst us, I think there needs to be an investment. So we need to be there to invest time in friendships and relationships. We need to align ourselves with submitting to leadership. And we need to be ready to engage with the opportunities in investing in purpose and direction. As I said, I could miss the seasons because I could stay indoors all year. But actually, you know, if I come out and step out and engage with what's happening, then I can start experiencing what's happening on the outside. And there's something that God wants us to do in that opportunity to invest. And sometimes it's going to cost. I know people think I've been in this church for years, and I have, and, you know, can't imagine being anywhere else. But when I first joined this church, I had to work through the reality of what it means to invest in time and invest in relationships. I actually walked around 3 days with a letter in my pocket for the leadership telling them I was leaving the church, because there were issues and things to work through. And how we deal with those issues is really what counts. If we're pressing in, if we're choosing to invest in relationships, then there needs to be a readiness to pay the price and to sacrifice and to do, I think, whatever it takes to be part of this church community. Lining myself with and submitting to the leadership, well, that's obviously... As the leadership gives us direction, it's getting behind, getting involved, and following them in where they're leading us. And then engaging, investing in the purpose and direction was very similar to getting behind the leadership that Avril's shared earlier about these workshops. You know, well, that's nice. There's a workshop. Someone else over there can do that. Or is God actually nudging you to actually say, well, maybe, you know, is there something for you to do here? Something that he wants to stir you in and to be part of. And it's kind of, sometimes it's just having the confidence and the awareness that that's what God is saying and that's how God, where God wants us to be. Just a clarification though, can I access grace without being fully part? Well, you have to, because it wouldn't be grace. If the only way you could access it was because of what we did, then it wouldn't be grace. Because grace is God's heart and love to us unconditionally. So it's not a requirement in that sense. However, the Bible does say, Jesus says, for with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And I have stories. I can remember people who stood here and given testimony of how God has met with them. They were part of this community. And the same person once sat in my kitchen at home and says, I don't do God. So on one hand, there was this story of how God had changed and transformed their life and affected their life in a significant way. On the other hand, they're saying, no, I don't do God. So you can be part. People will come, we'll come into here, and you will touch what we will touch what God is doing. People will touch what God is doing amongst us. But there is a sense where if you want, we need to engage fully with what God is doing amongst us, then there's that sense of joining and pressing in to receive all that God wants to do in our life. In the end, you know, God puts us in community so we can grow, so we can develop, so we can become strong in him. And it's actually so we can get to understand him more and love him more. And it's and we're each other is the resource for us to do that. Each of us is the resource for us to do that. The other benefit of being part of the community is protection from the enemy. That if God joins us to his body, we don't choose to join. God actually joins us to be part, but we have to submit to that and agree that is where God's calling us to be. So God could be seeking to join me and I refuse to be joined. Or I can actually submit to that and I can choose to be joined. I can choose to go with what God's saying. And there's grace to enable me to do that. It's very interesting. One of the things that sparked this with me was in Jeremiah 42, verse 10. They were being in exile. The Israelites were being attacked by the Babylonians, and God had prophesied that the Babylonians were going to take them and was going to subdue them because they'd been living in such a bad way. And what happened was but the prophecy was, don't run away. The prophecy was, stay here. The same thing happened in Sierra Leone when Richard Cole was leading Sierra Leone, and there was a war there. Richard's word was, you stay in Sierra Leone. If you run, you will die. And actually that happened. They ran. Those that left the country didn't survive. Those that stayed survived. And what then went on, it goes on to say, is that in Jeremiah 39:10, those who stayed were given the vineyards. So God had given them a sense of direction, a sense of calling, a sense of, this is where I'm calling you to be, stay in the land. And when they stayed in the land, then not only did they survive, but it became a place of richness and a place of provision. And the places that got that were the poorest people sometimes. So the point I'm making is that when we are, if God is joining us, as we join, there's a sense of protection in being in that place, which isn't there necessarily if we step out of that and step out of that place. That sounds a bit strong, but I think there's the truth in that. And there are people who, the example I gave was the person I was talking about. You know, they've lost their way with God completely, and not in that, and still struggling, I think, with the similar issues they had when they first came. So it's an important place. So if we recognise what grace God is doing amongst us, it changes perspective about who I am. And it also changes about my perspective of why I'm here. Am I in a meeting now? Or am I in a place where I can receive God's grace and give God's grace? Am I in a place where I can hear God for someone and give to somebody else and receive for somebody else as well as receive for myself? When the Bible talks about speaking to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, sing and make music from our hearts to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if I go to visit somebody, you know, does that change the perspective? I'm not asking to get a religious mindset, because one of the things we should be doing is having fun together. God likes to have fun. But there is a sense that when we're together, there is that expectation there'll be a flow of grace between us, that we receive grace, we give grace. Or am I just going to the supermarket? So there is a sense of where it changes how we see ourselves and changes how we see one another and changes that sense of expectation of what it means to be together. So I just want us to reflect on a response, and I want to use some verses from Judges just to do this. This is the story of Gideon, and this is a group of people who were in relationship, people in relationship, they were under leadership, and they had a purpose. Gideon was at a time when the Israelites were under the suppression of the Midianites, and God raised him up, and he'd given him a plan for liberating the Israelites from the Midianites, and he had to gather an army. And he gathered an army, but the instruction that God had given him, what his army was going to do, they weren't going to fight. They had to take torches and big pots, and the idea is they would go into the enemy camp, smash the pots, let the torches wave around, make a load of noise, and the enemy would get scared and run away. So there was a clear purpose in what they were called to do together. And so they started up with this army. So early in the morning, Jeroboam, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of the Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, so Israel would boast against me. My strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will thin them out for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told them, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink." 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, but kept the 300, took over the provisions and the trumpets of the others. So the end of the story is 300 men went into the camp, made the noise, waved their torches, broke the pots, and the Midianites got confused and they ran away. But on top of that, then what then happened was the guys that got left behind, they didn't actually get totally left behind. They got called upon to go and chase the army and got back involved at that point. So we're not talking about losing salvation or anything dramatic like that, but we're talking about that opportunity to access God's grace, to be part of the adventure that he's taking into at this particular time. And I think there's three responses that we looked at with these guys. The first ones were fearful. And I just want to ask the question, are there things which hold you back from getting involved in the community in the way that maybe God is calling you to be involved? Not me, I'm telling you how you should be involved. It's your own conscience. It's what God is saying to you. God is, and why would that be? And how could that be different? My second thing could be the second guys is, am I here more because the guys that just knelt down and they just put their heads in the water to drink, not aware of their surroundings? Am I here more for what I can get than what I can give? Is this my place of blessing, my place of receiving? Or is there more that God has for you? Is that where you're at? Or finally, are you at a place where you're a lapper? So you're somebody that's looking around to minister to others. Not am I here for me, but am I here for how I can serve and minister and give to other people? Who can I see around me that God is equipping me to be a means of grace to? There's an alertness. Those are the guys that really got the fun. They're the ones that had the fun. They're the ones that went into the camp and banged the pots and waved their torches. And they're the ones that saw the Midianites get confused. That was it. And actually, what we're doing, we're calling you to, this is a fun adventure. This is a fun, fun place to be. Okay, we have our ups and downs, and we've had some difficult times. But this is a place where God's taking us into a new season, a new opportunities. And, you know, I wouldn't bore you now with stories, but we've had some fun. We've had some difficult times, but I've had some fun in this church. You know, I've been on adventures I've never gone on if not being part of this community. And there are things that God has taken us on. So I just want to encourage you just to reflect at this time. You know, who are we part of? Who has God called us to be part of? What is this adventure? As we go into this new season, what part is God giving you to play in that?
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Lifeline Church. We hope this message has been an encouragement to you. We are a relational church who live to demonstrate God's love to one another and our surrounding community in real and practical ways. We believe that this love can restore our families, our friendships, our communities, and our nation. We'd love to connect further with you, so please visit our website, lifelinechurch.co.uk, or interact with us on Facebook at lifeline.church.uk.